Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. May the grace of God through Christ be our salvation. Be with you all. Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and so many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent, the serpent of bronze, and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim. God redeemed them from the hand of the foe, gathering them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some were fools and took rebellious paths, though their sins were afflicted. They loathed all manner of food and drew near to death's door.
When in trouble, they cried to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress.
You set forth your word and healed them and rescued them from the grave.
Let them give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love and for your wonderful works of all people.
Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of your deeds with shouts of joy.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Ephesians. You are dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are obedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he had loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, by which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. On Friday night, our youth cooked and served a great spaghetti dinner. It was a fundraiser for the youth going to the national youth event in New Orleans in July. And I want to say thank you to all who supported that event. When I got home, I sat down, turned on the TV to watch some college basketball. I admit to being a fan of only March Madness. The only time I watch any sports on TV, and I love watching college basketball, and I was switching back and forth between, I'm using this like I got up and turned. I'm switching back and forth between two great games that both went into two overtimes. And while I'm watching this exciting game, I see in the stands the sign. You know what sign I'm talking about. The sign. On cardboard, John 3:16. Got to have a sign at every sports event. It seems that it's there. It's probably one of the most popular, if you can say that, about a Bible verse. It's probably the verse that you memorized for confirmation class. Can you say it with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Martin Luther called that verse the gospel in a nutshell, or the gospel in miniature. It tells the whole story of God's saving love packed into that one little verse. It's so often quoted, and maybe we've said the line so often, or worn the t-shirt, or held the sign, that we've stopped paying attention to what it really means. In fact, I'm not sure that we really believe it. I'm not sure we really believe that gospel in a nutshell. So let's look at it more closely. "For God so loved." So, such a little word. And it has so many different meanings. In Greek, as well as in English, that word so can be used in a lot of different ways. Are you listening to the sermon? So am I. How is it? So-so. Have you seen Clarence lately? That old so-and-so. I like him so much. Well, so long. We use that word in so many different ways. So what? Well, this passage in John's Gospel uses that word so to express a deep, intense emotion, a feeling of what we might say from the gut. It means a word from the inner core, a feeling from the inner core of yourself. God so loved the world. John uses that word in the same way in his first letter. He writes, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another." So, God loved the world so much. When we use that word so to express deep emotion as well, I might say to you, "I love you," and I would be telling the truth. But if I said to you, "I love you so much," it might make you a little nervous. We might get a little uncomfortable with that. The word so expresses that deep emotion that we don't use it with everyone. We don't say, "I love you so much," to every person. God does. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved." It's agape love. It's the love that is unconditional, undeserved, freely given, gracious, enduring. It's the love of God for us. This is how God loves us. We are the recipients of this most amazing love. And this is one part of the verse that I think that we don't really believe, or at least we have a hard time believing it. How could God love me so much? How could God love us so much? We, sinners, complainers, whiners, just like our ancestors in the wilderness with Moses. How could God love us? But this is the gospel truth. God so loved. And not just us. God so loved the world. Not just Lutherans, not just Christians, not just good people who try to stay out of trouble. People, it says, God so loved the world. That includes people who don't care about God, people who don't make time for God in their lives, people who say, "I don't need God," even people who have chosen to stay in the darkness. God's deep agape love, God's deep love that he has, is for the world. And I think this is too difficult for us to comprehend. We hear it, that God loves the world so much, but our human limitations can't quite figure out how this could be. How could God love the world so much? Even those who don't love God, even those who aren't trying to be good, even those who say, "I don't want anything to do with this God," God still loves them. And I think we have a hard time believing that. Understanding it. It just doesn't make sense. God loves us, and we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't merit it. That's agape love. But God so loved this world that he gave his son. He gave. That word "gave" indicates a gift, freely given, unearned, unmerited, undeserved. Jesus' death on the cross was for the sake of the world, for everyone, freely given. On Friday, I attended a lecture by Dr. Amy Oden, and she used this word hospitality when she was speaking of salvation. Talked about God's hospitality and equated that with the word that we usually use, salvation, or being saved. The word salvation, take the first part of that, salve, or as we say, salve. Salvation, salve, the ointment that heals, God's grace, a medicine that makes us well, the perfect definition for what is God's love of Jesus Christ on the cross. In Jesus, we are healed, anointed, salved. In Jesus, we are welcomed into that agape love that God is pouring out for all the world. Jesus is the medicine of grace, healing us right now, right here. Jesus is the salve of healing that is being poured out on us right now, right here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life, eternal life. I think we get it wrong sometimes. Too often we think of eternal life as that something out in the future. Someday I will have eternal life, something we can look forward to, like a reward for our good life. But eternal life begins right now. Eternal life means living in that grace relationship with God. Eternal life means being anointed with God's agape love that is going on right now. God is saving us all the time. It's not only about a future. It's about a present reality as well. We enjoy eternal life now and in the future because of Jesus Christ. The people who do not believe in Jesus Christ are missing out on this part of eternal life that is right now. If we focus on our snake bites, the wounds of our sinful world, our sin, our selfishness, our unforgiving hearts, we will end up in death and destruction. The story of Moses in the desert, the people who have been bitten by the snakes are told to look at the serpent that Moses had created, to look up. Think of the encouragement to stop focusing on ourselves, to stop focusing on your wounds and on your pains, on your sin, but to look up. And what do we look at? But the cross of Jesus Christ. When we love the darkness more than the light, we're missing out on eternal life. When we're focusing on our own selves, our selfishness, when we're focusing on our sin and not looking to the light, to Jesus Christ, we miss out on that eternal life with God that's right now. We can only have that eternal life now if we keep our eyes on the cross. John 3:16 encourages us to focus on what God is doing, not on what we're doing, but to pay attention to what God is doing. So I'll ask you this question. What is God doing in your life during this Lenten season? Where is God pouring the salve of his mercy in your life right now? Not some big not talking about making major testimonies about turning your life around. I'm talking about, where is God's love in your, how do you experience God's love in your life right now? One way I experienced it this morning was when Cameron came and sat on my lap. That just made my heart lighter. What a blessing from God to have that innocent child trust me enough to sit on my lap. How is God blessing you today? Where is God's healing anointing being poured out in your life? When we think about God's work in our daily walk, that's when we experience eternal life. Simple things, wonderful things that we can see in so many ways. God's healing ointment, God's merciful love being poured out on us. There's wonderful good news in these verses. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus did not come to point his finger and condemn the world that God loves so much. But too often we don't believe that. In fact, we kind of take over Jesus' job, we think it's his job, and we spend a lot of time condemning those who hate the light, pointing fingers. We can get a lot of energy behind pointing out sins and flaws and snake bites of those whom we judge to be unsaved or unworthy, including very often ourselves. The truth of this gospel passage, Jesus did not come to point a finger and condemn us, but Jesus came to put his hand out and pull us in, to bring us to know of God's agape love for us that is being poured out for us right now. John 3:16 invites us to be stretched beyond our comfort zone, to accept God's salvation, God's salving of us in Jesus Christ. This is the true picture of who God really is. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. This is the God we worship. This is the God that the world needs to know about. This is the God that we tell about when we allow ourselves to feel that healing salve of God's salvation in Christ Jesus. Amen.